Revelation was told to eat the book, and Jeremiah was told to eat the book. And so we're taking that, and we're talking about this taking the word and taking it into our heart, digesting it, and learning things about it. And we're, as we go through this Bible study, I'm trying to introduce you to some Bible study rules that I have come up with over the years. I've either discovered them myself or others have shared them with me, and I share them with you just to make your Bible study more profitable and more fruitful. And our title today is Pray Over Meals. Pray over meals. Eat this book, pray over your meal, all right? And we're going to talk about that meal, and we're going to talk about prayer, and we're going to talk about a conversation. Last week we talked about a meditation. Today we're going to talk about a conversation. And so I want to begin this morning, and we're going to quote here to begin with out of Psalm 119, which we read from just a few minutes ago. And what I want to direct your attention to is the many different ways that Psalm 119 describes our Bible, all right? And so I've selected these to bring that out to you. Notice Psalm 119, verse 12. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. Verse 15, I will meditate in your precepts and have respect into your ways. Again, these are all descriptions of the word. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. Verse 91, they continue this day according to your ordinances, for all are your servants. Verse 98, you through your commandments, another word for the word, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. Verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are, and there's our word from last week, we zeroed in on my meditation. And then finally, verse 102, I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. Now let's pray. God, as we get into your word, I'm reminded of that psalm that reminds me to come before this congregation today and honor your word. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would bring glory and honor to you this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, we started out a few weeks ago with rule number one. And I want to show you that we're going to add one each Sunday. Rule number one is, unless you've been born again, unless you're a Christian, unless you're saved, you cannot know Christ and understand the Word of God. All right? The Bible tells us that the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. You've got to have Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The book was a dead book to me until I received Christ. A dead book. In other words, I can read it like any other book, like if I wanted to read, Gone with the Wind, or if I wanted to read a Harry Potter book, or if I wanted to read a history book, I can read those things, but this is a spiritual book. I've got to have the Holy Spirit. And then we talked about last Sunday, all the spiritual disciplines of Bible study, prayer, and worship go through meditation that honors God. Meditation simply means to think, to contemplate. If this is His Word and God's talking to me, then, hey, I got to give it my attention. I've got to really concentrate. The Bible says meditate on these things. The Bible says study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we talked about, like a piece of steak. You got to enjoy a piece of steak, you got to cut it up in bite-sized pieces and savor the flavor, and that's the way the word is. And then the one I want to introduce you to this morning and focus our attention on is rule number three. We must read our Bible prayerfully. Notice, through His Word, God talks to us. Through prayer, we talk to God. Now, in the first message we said, eat this book. It's an inquired taste, because you got to be born again to really pass the taste test. And then we talked about last week, you got to chew your food properly, all right? You got to meditate on it. Think about it. Contemplate it. And then today we're going to talk about praying over our meals. Praying over our meals. Now, I take this passage of Scripture this morning out of Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is an interesting psalm because it is the longest of the 150 of them. It has 176 verses. It's as long in your Bible as the same length as the book of Ruth or the book of James or the book of Philippians. It is a chapter about the Bible. That's why he mentions all of the different words for the Bible. In fact, if Aaron, if you'll show them, I went back and looked in a concordance, and statutes is mentioned 22 times, precepts 21 times, ways 5 times, law 25 times, ordinances once, commandments 21, testimonies 22, word 38, and judgments 22 times, all right? So that leads me to a story I want to tell you, a true story. That back in the 1600s, Christians were being persecuted for their faith in England, all right? And the Bishop of Edinburgh was a man by the name of George Wishart, all right? And he'd been sentenced to death by hanging. But they had a custom, all right, in that day, that when you were going to be hung, all right, and they put that noose around your neck, you could have a psalm read before they hung you. So they asked him, what psalm would you like to be read before we hang you? And he said, Psalm 119. 176 verses, all right? Well, the interesting story about that is they got down to verse 120, all right? 120, and they heard the sound of hoofbeats of a horse. All right. And this horseman was carrying a message from the king. And what was the message? The king had pardoned George Wishart. So literally, the word saved someone again, didn't it? Amen. Good thing he didn't select Psalm 23. All right. He'd already been hung. All right. What I'm getting at is this book can save you. It can save you a lot of grief. It can save you a lot of heartache. It can save you from making a lot of stupid mistakes. It can save you from making regrets. It can save you a lot of sorrow. It can save your marriage. It can do so many things. It will save your soul if you'll let the Holy Spirit guide and direct you. Which leads me to my very first point I want to share with you. And that is, in regarding to this conversation, is first of all, we need a listener. We need a listener. The listener. Through His Word, God talks to us. And I've selected some passages that tell us that God wants to talk to us. All right? He wants to talk to us. Blessed are those who hear the Word of God and keep it. Again, the question I want to throw out to you is, as you read the book, do you hear Him talking to you? Or is it just like if you're reading some other book? All right? You know, we have books now on tape or on CDs or on podcasts where the author of the book will read you the book to you if you want them to do that, all right? It would be interesting if we would literally have the voice of Jesus reading the Word to us, but that isn't the way He selected to get the Word. He's putting that onus on us, but He's reminding us here, today if you will hear His voice. Verse 27 of John 10, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And then Hebrews 1 says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophet, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. So I want you to see something here. He said, hear the word, hear His voice, hear my voice. He has spoke to us, and He's spoken to us through His Son. So here's the ticket. God is trying to communicate to us. He's trying to talk to us. And we don't need somebody to hit us over the head with a book to get us to realize that God is trying to communicate to us. There is a little story concerning the prophet Elijah, and I want to share it from you from 1 Kings. It says, here was the Lord talking to Elijah, and he said, then he said, that is to Elijah, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore them into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Now, God was not only showing to Elijah and to us that he's in control of everything, all of the elements of the world, but he's saying, do you want to hear me talk to you? Listen for a still, small voice. Listen to my voice. And it's interesting that when we read the scriptures, we'll the different ways that it's described to us. In fact, it's described as rain coming down. Or, listen to this, snow coming down. Let me read this to you from Deuteronomy 32, verse 1. Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as raindrops on the tender herb, and as showers on the grass. And then notice here in this next section of scripture, in Isaiah it says, for as the rain comes down, and notice, and where does the snow come from? Does it come from hell? It comes from heaven. Who would shake their head at snow? Who would have anything bad to say about snow? Surely nobody. Surely nobody. Oh, God will get you for that, Marlon. But notice, but the water, the earth, make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Now think about what he's trying to tell us here. It's really interesting the way the flow of water works. It comes down, and goes back up. It comes down, and it goes back up. Now, we see it come down, but we really, as Amber was talking about the fog, so often we don't contemplate the fact that it's rising back up. And he's saying, my word is that way. It falls down, all right? It replenishes, and then it goes back up. And one of these days, I hope we're all going to go back up, and we'll go back up because we've been replenished from that. You know, there was a praise song that was popular here, I don't know, 10 years ago, called Word of God Speak. It said, Word of God Speak, would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place? Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God Speak. Now, I want you to see nine times in Psalm 119, the Bible says there, teach me. Teach me. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. That is, if we're going to pray over the meal, we've got to first hear from God. He wants to teach us. He wants us to instruct us. In fact, I want you to see and share some verses up on the screen with you in regards to that. All of them found here in almost all of them in Psalm 119. Notice, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. Open my eyes. Open my eyes. And then notice, the entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. And then notice, make me understand the way of your precepts. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. Give me understanding and I shall live. There was another praise song that was popular, and we've sang it here at the church before, I think. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. You. When I open the Word, God will open my eyes. He'll give me 20/20 vision, all right? He'll let me see the world as it really is and give me understanding of what's going on in this world. You talk about enlightening. Enlightening. You know, it's like opening a door that you didn't ever know was there before. I mean, it's like once the light comes in, you're never the same person again. Never the same person again. You know, you say to yourself, this is the way things really ought to be when you see it. You know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We understand that. Then once that word gets in, it lights the way. And of course, Psalm 119 refers to that. And when it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Not only is it light, all right, as it says, to my feet, it's the path itself. It's the path itself. So God has said in His Word that He wants to communicate with us, all right? He wants to speak to us through His Word. Why don't we get in the Word? Romans chapter 4 and verse 5 says, for what does the Scripture say? All right, you're going through a trial or you're going through a joy. What does God say about that? Hey, election year. We're in election year. God help us. All right. Who do I know how to vote for? How do I know how to vote? You realize how many scriptures the Bible talks about money. Tells you how to spend your money. How to save your money. What not to do with your money. We just talked about that on Wednesday night. You know, one of the things that says in the Bible not to do that we don't even stop and think about sometimes. Don't co-sign a note. Don't do that. Don't put yourself in that position, all right? So our guidelines is not what I think. My guideline is not what you think. It's not my opinion. What does the Word of God say? And I want to share something with you, and I don't know where this originated from, but it's so apropos. When we close our Bibles, God closes His mouth, and when we open our Bibles, God opens His mouth, all right? That's just, you know, the way it is. Now, in order to have a conversation, all right, you got to have a listener. And then that leads me to my second point. You got to have a speaker, all right? The speaker. Through prayer, we talk to God. Now, God speaks to us. Here's the thing that I want to highlight. Here's the big idea this morning, all right? Here is David, and he's saying, give ears to my words. Oh, Lord, consider my meditation. Now, we talked about, I've been thinking about you. Notice, give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for I will pray. For to you, I will pray. He's saying, I'm talking to you because I've heard from you, because I've been meditating on your word. I've been in the word. All right? And when we get in the word, what? Word of God speak. It's God speaking to us, which brings me to this idea of our conversation that what has God given us? God could have gave us a movie to watch. You realize that? He could have gave us a movie to watch. He could have gave us music videos. He could have gave us a soundtrack to the Bible. And whenever, you know, like you watch a movie and whenever things are getting kind of, you know, dark and oh, you got this music going on behind the scenes to heighten it. But what did He give us? He gave us the Word. He gave us the Word. All right? He wants to communicate with us through the Word. He wants us to think. All right? If you're going to read one sentence or you're going to read a 500-page novel, you got to sit down and you got to concentrate and you've got to think. And Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 tells us, think on these things. All right? The Bible by its very nature calls on us to think. To think. You know, to muse. You go to a museum and to muse means to think. If you go to an amusement park, you put the A in front, the prefix in front of the muse, and that means not to think. So you go to an amusement park not to think, you go to a museum to think. God wants us to think. And then in the book of Isaiah, God has a conversation here, and he says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Notice he's saying, come, let us, he's not saying, come and let us experience this together. He's saying, let's think this through. Let's think where this is going. You know, any good parent, when their child comes to them, they're saying to them, hey, let's think this through. Let's see where this is leading. All right. Is this going to get you in trouble? Or is this the right pathway to go? And here is David that I referred to just a minute ago. All right. And his pattern was, I want to hear God talk first. And then in prayer, I'm going to talk back to him based on what he has said to me. I want to tell you this morning, I was in Proverbs, and I wrote down several verses of things that I read that I thought, well, I hadn't thought about that before. New different things that I had not ever considered before. And that's the way, you know, you begin your day, let God talk to you. Let the first voice you hear be God's voice, and let the first voice that God hears be your voice, your voice. And then I want to direct your attention back to Psalm 5 and verse 3 again. My voice you shall hear. Here's David saying, you're going to hear my voice in the morning, God. Notice, oh Lord, in the morning I will direct it to you and I will look up. David looks up to God in the morning. All right. Now, why in the morning? Well, think about it. You don't pray for your daily bread when the day's over. You don't say, Lord, lead me not into temptation when the day is over. You don't what? Read the map after the trip's over. All right. You're getting ready to start your day. And I've got a little poem here that I came across I want to share with you. It says, when we lose the morning, we lose the day. When we lose the day, we forget to pray. When we forget to pray, we lose the way. Let me ask you, does God hear your voice in the morning? Does God hear your voice in the morning? You'll hear his voice one day. You'll hear his voice one day. It may not be in this life, but it will be. And what will he have to say? You know, it's not just in the morning, but David said in Psalm 55 and verse 17, the same David who talked about crying to God, evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Which leads me to my third point this morning, and that is, we've had the listener, we've had the speaker. Now I want you to see the conversation. We've talked about, you're not going to understand the word without the Holy Spirit. You're not going to have the Holy Spirit without receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Once you receive him, then you have the Holy Spirit living within you. All right? Then you can talk to him. You can read his word. You can say, as we've already said, as the psalmist say, Lord, teach me. Help me to understand. When was the last time you did that? You read something and you said, Lord, help me to understand this. I'm not understanding. You act like, well, I don't want to do that. Yeah, you do. You want to call on him to help you. All right. Now begins this conversation. And notice what the Bible emphasizes here. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. You've had a conversation. All right. Notice Isaiah 58 and verse 9. Then you shall hear, shall call and the Lord will answer, and you shall cry and he will say, here am I. That's like, and again, what I want to emphasize, that's like you're sitting down with someone and you're having a conversation with them. All right? You're talking to them. Like right now, I'm talking to some of you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are we having a conversation? Are we connecting? All right? You have a conversation. Sometimes, you know, your spouse will say, what did you hear what I said to you? All right, tell me what I said. All right? It's like having a test after you've had the conversation. What I'm getting at here is there's a conversation going on. And here's where we fail in prayer so often. It's like it's a one-way conversation. It's like a DJ on a radio channel. All right? He's out there talking, but he didn't know anyone's listening. And some people view prayer that way. It's like, well, I'm talking out there, but I don't know anyone's out there. I don't know if God's listening. Why would he want to listen to what I got to say? We junk it up. We make it more complicated than it needs to be. And we turn it into a monologue instead of a dialogue. It's like we forget that, listen, if you call me on the phone and we're talking and we get disconnected, am I going to keep talking to nobody? All right. Hello? Are anybody there? Hello? All right. Obviously not. We're going to quit talking. Well, here's what I'm trying to get across. Through the Word, He talks to us. Through our words, we talk to Him. That's what prayer is. It's this conversation that He hears and He answers. We speak, He listens. He speaks, we listen. I go back to, for instance, in Revelation. And of course, we mentioned there, it's a two-way conversation. Revelation says, and puts it this way, it's kind of like God's Jesus shows up at your house and He says, knocks on the door and He says, hey, if anyone will notice, hear my voice, I'll come in, sit down and we'll have a meal. We're talking about eat this book. We'll have a meal. Him and me. He's telling this to this church, and He's also using it in a broad way of speaking to us as individuals. Some people say He's knocking on the door of our heart. Hey, I want to come in. Will you let me come in? Let's have a conversation. Come, let us reason, saith the Lord. All right? Sit down and let's talk. And then the Bible goes on to say, and I want to share some other verses that lead in this same direction. I have declared my ways, and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. Here's God saying, I'll answer because He knows your thoughts even before you think them because He's God. And notice, I will answer, and they will, and they, while they are still speaking, I will hear. And then I love the way the Living Bible translates this. I love the Lord because He hears my prayers and answers them. Because He bends down and listens, I will pray as long as I breathe. See, we can't miss this aspect of prayer in that the fact that He's listening to us. We have an audience with Him. All right? Now, I want to tell you, the model prayer that Jesus gave us was the Lord's Prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer, the Lord's model prayer. And I want to, if Aaron will put that up here on the screen, I want you to see, and I'm glad we've got the whole thing right up here. Look at this prayer and how it's like a conversation with God. And I want to take this prayer and I want to add to this equation my earthly Father with the Heavenly Father, all right? There's a conversation going on. People are talking, all right? There's a pattern here. We've already talked about I hear His voice, He hears my voice, all right? Prayer is to be a conversation between relatives. Notice how it begins. Our Father. All of us, I guarantee you, whether your father was a wonderful individual or wasn't worth shooting, you had one. All right? You had a father. I hope your memories of your father are good ones because mine are excellent. But whether or not you did, here's what God is trying to, hey, if you got a father, then you're what? You're family. You got a relative there. God, He didn't say He wanted to be addressed as my dear potentate. All right? He says, here's Jesus saying, when you talk to God, say, Father. In fact, the Bible even talks about Daddy. It says, Abba Father, Daddy Father, Dad. It's even, we think, oh, that's too impersonal. But think about it. Here's an ordinary conversation. You greet the person, all right? You recognize their presence. Too many times, again, we pray like God's in outer space somewhere. We're in the visible world, and he's in the visible world, and he surely don't care about us. But even the Bible says he is not far from each one of us in Acts chapter 17. So Jesus said, when you pray, when you have that conversation, treat it like a conversation that you're talking to your Father. Your Father, all right? We belong to the same family. If you're a Christian, then you have brothers and sisters, and you have this in common, your Father. What are we doing when we share the Lord's table? We're sharing the fact that we're sharing those things together as a family, all right? Now, let me talk about this verse. As I mentioned, I think I had the greatest father in the world. He's been gone now for 22 years. He died when I was 44 years old. My wife lost hers when she was 21. So I think I got shortchanged when I lost him when I was 44. But I know a lot of people lost their father even a lot sooner than that. But when I think about my dad, I think about a scripture that says the glory of children is their father. That was my case. He left me a good name, and I want to leave him a good name. All right? I want people to say about me the same thing they said about my dad. He's honest. He pays his bills. He's a good provider. He's faithful to his family and friends. And he's a, as the Bible says, a very present help in time of need. And he was. All right? Now, there wasn't anything I couldn't tell him. I wish I could tell him all of those things today, because he used to occupy a place in this church for a little while, for about 10 years until he passed away. But I wish I could go back now and tell him how much he meant to me, because I had no idea I was going to lose him within a 24-hour period. But what I'm getting at is we have a Heavenly Father that we brag on, that we say, hallowed be your name. That we say, you know, how wonderful a Heavenly Father we have. And then notice he says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All right. Now, in other words, I don't want to do anything to you, Father, that would bring shame to you. I don't want to do, when my dad would get upset with me or maybe look down at me, would be when I did something stupid, when I did something foolish. All right. And he knew that I knew better. And so here's this conversation. And basically I'm saying to Dad, and I'm saying to my Heavenly Father, I want what you want. I want what you want. If I, you know, I love that line that he wanted for me what I would want for myself if I had sense enough to want it. Okay? All right? That's the way my father was, my earthly father, and that's the way my Heavenly Father is. All right. He doesn't want me to do anything illegal. He doesn't want me to do anything sinful. He doesn't want me to do anything that would violate my conscience. And then notice he says, give us this day our daily bread. All right. I didn't realize it for several years because I was young and a baby, but my father was feeding me. Fed me for many years before I recognized, hey, this guy has to go out and he worked a hard job. He has to go out and he has to work in order to put food on the table. All right? Well, my Heavenly Father is what? Putting food on my table. Do we even thank him for that? Do we say grace before a meal? We thank him that he's provided our daily bread for us. And again, we're talking about meeting the needs. Notice it's give us this, our daily bread. All of us. So he supplies the need, and we thank him for doing that. And then, again, we're not talking about saying prayers. We're not talking about getting prayers out of a prayer book. We're not talking about reciting a prayer. We're talking about praying prayers that come from the heart. The number one thing he wants me to reveal is my heart. And then finally, and then notice he says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We're in debt, aren't we? We're debtors. We're in debt to people. They do things for us and we're in debt to them. People hurt us. And how do we respond? We've got to forgive them. If we don't forgive them, then why would God forgive us? All right? So how many times with our earthly father did we have to ask our earthly father to forgive us? Forgive us. And sometimes our earthly father said to us, well, forgive me. But our heavenly father says, pay your debts. Pay your debts. And then finally, he says, notice, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us. I didn't realize for years that my earthly father was protecting me. He was sheltering me not only with a roof over my head, but he was protecting me if somebody would try to bring me physical harm if need be. Or he was protecting me in the fact of helping me not to go the wrong way in my life. He was delivering me in all different sorts of ways. And what was he trying to deliver me from? Evil. Evil. From going down the wrong path. So he was my protector. Now, here's where the sad part is in the division between the earthly father and the heavenly father. I can't talk to my earthly father anymore. Those conversations are over. And many of you here have experienced that. It's gone. It's done. But you've got your heavenly father. You know, my father came from a real bad home situation. His father was an alcoholic. He didn't work. He didn't hardly hit a lick. They was a large family, and they grew up extremely poor. And talk about snow. My dad used to tell a story about him and his brother sleeping out on the front porch, and they'd have snow on their covers because they had slept out, you know, on the porch, and it had gotten cold, and the snow had blowed in. So he did not have any kind of a good example at all. It's amazing the difference between my father and his father, all right? Remarkable. I guess the apple fell so far from the tree, it was blowing real hard that day, all right? But here is what I want to bring your attention to. This is a conversation, all right? You greet the person. You say something nice, all right? You thank them for whatever they've done for you or for someone else. And you talk about your situation. And you talk about your mutual friends. And then the rest of the day, you can communicate in that same manner. You know, some people, it's so nauseating. Sometimes at church, you'll see situations. People are kind of chattering. You know, like, say we're out here and we're shaking hands and we're greeting people to come into the church. And then all of a sudden, the preacher gets up and he starts talking to God and he says, Dear Heavenly Father, you know, puts on this prayer, you know, like I'm talking to God now and I got to talk in King James English or whatever, because that's the only language he speaks, right? You know, no, wrong. We've done it. We've caused a problem and made it what prayer is not supposed to be. And that brings me to that first prayer in the Bible. And I'm going to have to hit this real hard. That first prayer in the Bible is found in Genesis. And I want you to see this real quickly. It says, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Notice, God likes the cool of the day. He likes cool weather. Heaven is cool. Hell is hot. He likes it cool. Notice. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Why did they hide themselves? Because they had lied. They disobeyed God. All right. And notice, and the Lord God said and called to Adam and said to him, notice this, where are you? Now, he knew where they were. He wanted them to know where they were. He wanted them to know their condition. He wanted to know that. See, here's the thing I want to ask you. When it comes to prayer, and it comes to this conversation, and it comes to being a speaker and a listener, where are you? Where are you? Are you hearing from God? Is God speaking to you? Where were you this last week? Is God saying to you, where are you? Why don't you talk to me? Why don't you have fellowship with me? Why don't you acknowledge me? Acknowledge my presence. Where are you? Where are you? See, That's the first gospel message right there. The Bible says about Jesus, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He's coming to us and he's saying, where are you? Where are you? God came seeking the sinner. Here is God coming to seek the sinner, the Adam and Eve. And he's asking, where are you? Now, I want to tell you something. How does a person get saved? Well, it's a conversation. God speaks to them. You know, the Bible says all have sinned, and man, that's me. And I need forgiveness. And I'd sure like to go to heaven. And the word comes in, we just talked about, light comes in, light comes on, light bulb, epiphany, however you want to describe it. And God has opened up a conversation with us, and then here, are we going to listen? Are we going to acknowledge that conversation and make the move? The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. See, that person that led you to faith in Christ, how did they know how to do it? They got into the word. They got all the information that they talked to you about from the word, and they started a conversation with you, and they said, do you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior? Well, let's have a conversation. Let me tell you about it. Let me tell you about it. That's how salvation begins. That's how a relationship begins. How do you get to know anybody? How did you get to know your spouse? How do you get to know your friend? You go up and you start a conversation with them, right? That's as simple as how it begins. How does a person get saved? It starts with a conversation. And that brings me, if you go down, Aaron, to that last three verses there in Psalm, will you pull that up and we'll finish there? The Bible says that this book is like any other book. You can read Shakespeare and it's not going to save you. But this book will speak to you if you listen. And it says, my soul faints for your salvation, but I have hope in your word. I am yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. And then Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Now, this book, if we'll hear and listen, word of God speak. Word of God speak. Are we listening? Will you stand with us?